1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul is describing to the Thessalonican church, he's talking to these believers and reminding them, you are in a different class. You look at the times and the seasons much differently than those who are in the world. Let me tell you, the world, we are living in the fulfillment of Scripture right now, where people are, they're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage. It just means they're just living like the world is just going to keep on going. It's almost as if they don't see the impending darkness and judgment that is around the corner. They don't see it. Some are aware that we are living in the last days, but for some, their eyes are blinded to the reality of where we are. But the apostle is saying to these Christians, you know the times. You understand what's going on. You don't have need for me to write to you. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is at hand, that the Lord is coming very, very soon. Those last moments of time just before the sun goes down are called dusk. There's still just a little bit of light, but it's kind of smoky. It's kind of foggy. Actually, that's what the word dusk means. It means smoky. And that's what happens. Just before the sun completely goes down, then it's dusk. And that's where we are, I believe, on as far as God's clock is concerned, and as far as the times that we're living in right now, we're living at the spiritual dusk. We're right at the time before darkness is going to come on the scene. You see, when the Lord comes, then whenever Jesus splits the sky and the church is caught up in the air, then that is when darkness is going to fill all of the earth. All of the earth is going to be filled with darkness. Right now, we're just at dusk. But darkness is almost ready to come upon this earth. And it's going to be darkness because, for one thing, the day of grace is going to be over. And the opportunities to spread the gospel, the opportunities for evangelism and for many to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, darkness is going to come because the day of grace is going to be over. Darkness is going to come on the earth because the church is going to have exited out of this place. And right now, it's the church that's holding back the judgment of God. It's the church that's withholding all of these things from happening. Believers in the church, but once the church is raptured from this earth, then darkness is going to come upon the earth. And darkness also is going to be evident because this world is going to be thrown into a great time of tribulation. And darkness is going to come upon this earth. And so when the writer is describing darkness, I believe that at least those three things are exactly what's waiting. And in just a few moments of time, that's what's going to happen in the world that we're living in right now. But you and I, the Bible says that we are to be watchful and we are to be sober. We are to be watchful and sober. The word sober means alert. To be watchful means to be awake. And last week we preached about this similar subject, and it's still a subject that I believe is on my mind and on my heart. Last week we talked about waking up and a wake-up call that the church needs to awaken. So in light of where we are in these last days, then I believe that the Lord is calling us to wake up. To wake up and to see where we are in the time that we are living right now. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Believers look at the world and we look at the signs differently than anyone else that are in this world. The world is just moving on with their plans. They're moving right on. With their lives as if nothing is going to change, that things are just going to continue as they always have. But we know as the church that we are winding down to the last moments of time. And since we are at these last moments of time, there should be an urgency in us like has never been before. If you've served the Lord for 20 or 30 years, 40 years, however long you serve the Lord, today, right now, on October the 30th, 2011, there ought to be more of an urgency, a seriousness in your heart. You should be more spiritually awake and spiritually alert to the times that we're living in right now, and to use up the time for the glory of God and to do what the Lord has called us to do, to see as many come into the kingdom of God. We're living in a time, believers need to be watchful. We need to be aware of what is going on around us. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. We need to be aware of the fact as the church that the coming of the Lord is right on us. It's right on us right now. Amen. And we shouldn't be caught off guard by this. That's what the writer is saying to the Thessalonian Christians. He's saying, the church, but you, but brothers and sisters, you shouldn't be caught off guard by this. You should be well aware and in tune with the times that we're living in. And to determine that you are going to do in the last days the things necessary. This urgency should be motivating us to dig in and get closer to God than we ever have before. You're not of the darkness. You're not in darkness. Those that are in darkness are describing people who have no spiritual light, no spiritual knowledge. They don't know what's going on. They don't have any idea. Some of the smartest, most intellectual people of this day today, they don't believe in God. They're agnostic. They're atheist. They're far from God, and they make a mockery of God and the things of the Lord. They see the church as something that's evil and destructive to our society rather than the salvation of this society. And so they're in darkness, but the church needs to be in the light, aware of what's going on, our eyes wide open, set our priorities right, as our brother was talking about in the Sunday school class this morning. And we are not to live in darkness. You remember the story of little Samuel when he was in the house of the Lord? It is such a parallel to the times we're in right now. Eli was the prophet. Eli should have known. Eli should have been hearing from God. He should have been in tune with the voice of the Lord, but he's old and he's become careless and he's compromised. And so in his old age, God speaks in the temple and the prophet who should hear does not hear. He does not hear. The one that should be in tune with the voice of the Lord is not hearing the voice of the Lord. It's a little child. So Lord, we don't need to feel like that we're the wise spiritual ones who have all the answers, but instead we need to be like little children that come to the Lord and say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but Lord, we do know that if we'll draw near to you, that you'll instruct us and you'll show us the way to go and you'll lead us by your word into the light. The scripture says of those days that the word was precious. The word was precious. It just means that it was scarce. It was valuable. It was so precious and scarce in those days because it was a religious world, a religious system, and everything was set in order with sacrifices. The priest and the religious activity went on, but when God spoke, even the priest wasn't hearing. When God spoke, those who should have been in tune with God were not hearing his voice. But instead, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the heart of a servant. Give me the heart and the faith of a child, like little Samuel. Whenever the Lord spoke, he knew that God was speaking to him. And he heard the voice of the Lord. And the Lord gave to that young child a vision and gave to that young child a prophecy that he spoke to Eli concerning the things that were getting ready to come to pass. He had no idea that those things were going to come to pass, but God spoke through that little child the things that pertained to the exact time of judgment that was just around the corner for them. There was no open vision. There was no vision. The phrase there means there was no vision that was breaking forth. There was no vision that pertained to the present situation. A word from God, to hear from God, that when God speaks and God works among us, the lamp of God was going out. The voice of God was not being heard or recognized in those times. We are not to be children of darkness, but we are to be children of light. You know, those who go to sleep, we talked a little bit about this last week. But you can see all these comparisons in the scripture. Verse 6, chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be watchful and alert. Be alert as to the times that we are living in. Just think of all of those people in the scripture because they fell asleep. And the tragedy that came because they fell asleep. You know, it's a tragic thing to fall asleep when you've got big responsibilities. Mom and dad, you've got big responsibilities with your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. You've got big responsibilities. This is no time to go to sleep spiritually. This is no time to be in darkness and lead your family into darkness. They need to be aware of what's going on. They need to understand that this is the priority of our life, that we're ready to meet the Lord. Amen. Samson fell asleep in the lap of Delilah. He was the deliverer for Israel. Great time of responsibility, and God was using him. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and the enemy would be defeated. But now he's asleep in the lap of Delilah, and she keeps tempting him and keeps asking him the source of his strength and of his power. And it's there as he falls asleep that he becomes vulnerable to the attack. He keeps getting up thinking, I will as before. I will be able to break out of this bondage. But there came a time when he got too close and he gave too much compromise, and he lost the touch of God. The power of God was gone, and this great conqueror was defeated and in prison. And now destruction has come because he fell asleep. How about those five virgins? Foolish virgins. There were five wise, but five foolish. They were foolish because they fell asleep at the midnight hour. They fell asleep and their lamps were empty. They fell asleep at the crisis hour, at the time of great need and great responsibility. And thus the bridegroom came. And they were not ready. They were not ready. The disciples, Jesus asked them, just wait with me 1 hour. This was his crisis hour. This was this time in the garden when he needed them to spend that time in prayer for him. But they went to sleep instead. They slept at the crisis hour. The crisis hour. We could go on. Eutychus, at the time when the church was under terrible persecution, at a time when the church needed to be moving forward with power. And he had this opportunity to hear this great apostle preach the gospel. But instead, he sits close to the window and goes to sleep and falls out. Of course, there's a miracle that takes place, and he's raised from the dead. The illustration is just this. I think that many times in the church, we're asleep, and we're asleep at the crisis hour. At a time of darkness, at a time of great need, we are slumbering, we are asleep, and we're not aware of the time that we're needed so much. We're not to be in darkness, but instead we are to be watchful and alert, sober and watchful, aware of what's going on, to see what is going on around us. The characteristic of this age is similar to the time of Lot. Lot went down to Sodom. Gradually, he would just pitch his tent. They would get a little bit closer, a little bit closer. Wasn't long until they became citizens of Sodom. Now he's down in Sodom and he's sitting in the gates. He's on the city council. Maybe he's the mayor. Who knows? But he's now, and he's compromised. And he's turned his head away from the wicked lives of those who lived in Sodom. And he's got used to it. And he's allowed himself to make adjustments to that. You know, that's exactly what happens to us in the church if we're not careful. We get used to wickedness. We get used to the evil. I was talking with someone here last night. They were talking about a word that people used to wouldn't use, but now you hear it commonplace. And I said, well, you know, I still don't like that word. I don't like that word. I don't like my kids to say it. I just don't like that word. So we had our little discussion. They said, well, it really is not as bad as it used to be. I said, well, you know, I think really what's happened is the culture has changed. And it's just getting worse and worse. And we're just kind of going along with it. And we're accepting it. And we're just adjusting to the direction of this world. And so now in comparison of a lot of other things that people are doing and saying, those things may seem not like they're very bad at all. But we're accepting and compromising wickedness and evil. We're getting used to the dark. That's what happened. Your eyes are designed by God to be able to do that. You can go in. Marcia and I used to go to this restaurant out in Tulsa, and it was a Chinese food place. And maybe they kept it real dark because they didn't want us to see what we were eating. I don't know. But it tasted good. And we would go in there, and at first, you almost had to be led to your seat. It was so dark in there. I mean, you'd go in, but after a while, you sit there and you start to be able to see better. Your eyes would adjust, and you could eat your meal and almost think that you're in the light until you step out the front door and you're back out in the sunshine again, thinking that that was light while you were eerily in the darkness because your eyes have adjusted. Well, our spiritual eyes have done the same thing. We've made adjustments. And we live in the world and we live in darkness and we've accepted it, and our eyes, spiritual eyes, have become adjusted to the darkness of this world, and we think darkness is light until we get confronted with the truth of God's word, till we spend time in the presence of God and God shines the light of His word and His Holy Spirit upon us. Then we're aware, oh Lord, I'm not in the light, I'm in darkness. And we're convicted of the way that we're living and our compromises. Oh, we must not allow that to happen. We are not to be children of darkness. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Amen. There is a place for the Christian life and the Christian testimony to be such that the way you live and your speech, your actions, where you go and where you don't go, the things that you involve in and you don't involve in, even the way you present yourself, even your dress and everything about your demeanor, all of it, many times, it is a description to the world. That person is a Christian. That person serves the Lord. They're not of darkness, but they are of light. You don't have to be obnoxious about it. You don't have to be mean-spirited about it. But you do. It is important that we understand as Christians that God has called us to reprove darkness. To reprove darkness. That doesn't mean you get up in their face with your finger and say, you're best God, you're going to hell and you're awful and you're wicked. No, you don't have to do that. If you live a righteous, holy life filled with the Spirit of God before them at the workplace, everywhere you are, then the Spirit of God in you, the touch of God upon your life, will reprove the darkness. Amen. You know, I've had people many, many times use a bad word, and they'll turn to me and say, oh, excuse me, I didn't know you were here. I didn't know you. I didn't want you to hear me say that. And I'm glad they do that. I'm glad they do that, because I don't plan to enter in to what they're doing and what they're. I remember when I worked in an office here years ago that I would walk down the hall and that all these people would be standing around talking and I could hear them laughing and I would step in and suddenly it would go quiet. And I thought, well, I guess I've interrupted something, because they were telling their filthy, nasty stories and jokes. And when I stepped into the room, then everything got silent. They didn't have anything else to say for a few minutes. And I'm thankful that our lives can be like that. And God forbid that we would enter into those kind of conversations, or we would be a party to that, even listening and having anything to do with that. Amen. I can remember hearing about, you know, Brother Huff, when he was in the Senate, many times he was put in positions where he'd have to go to the different kind of meetings where they were drinking alcohol. And they all had a particular type of glass that they were drinking out of. And he obviously wouldn't drink alcohol, but neither would he drink out of the same type of glass that they were drinking out of. He would go and find another style or type of glass to put his water in or his tea in or whatever it was, because he wanted it to be no mistaken that he was not partaking in what the rest of them were involved in. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, you say, well, I don't see why that's important. I'll tell you it's important, because we're at dusk right now. We're at dusk. The sun is going down. It's almost down. And there are a lot of people that are going to be in a crisis time, and some are going to come into the kingdom of God in the last few moments of time before Jesus comes. And if we're playing around and compromising and involving in the world and in darkness, we're going to lose our opportunity and lose our testimony. Oh, but God help us to be watchful, to be alert, to realize where we are and the kind of life that we are to be living in these last days. Verse 8, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet, the hope of salvation. That's our only defense. That's the only answer to a world that's up against so many sorrows and troubling times. There has to be something that we have to offer to this world. It's the hope of salvation. Hallelujah. The hope of salvation, that people can find a help in the presence of the Lord. And they're going to see that in you and me. They probably won't read the Bible. They may not go to the house of God. But they're going to see your life. They're going to see your example and your testimony. And they're looking for hope. Amen. And if you've compromised your testimony, they're not going to be able to even know who you are or what you are or who you stand for. Be a saint of God. Be a believer. And let your testimony be such that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be watchful and be alert, because dusk is upon us. The sun is going to go down. If you've ever watched the sun, you can't hardly really, it's almost as if you can't see it actually go down. Because you see that things are getting more and more foggy and cloudy. And you just turn your head from the left to the right. It's almost as if it happens that quick. That the darkness just seems to just dominate. And the light is gone. And darkness comes. That's how it's going to be when the Lord comes. That's how it's going to be when darkness then descends upon this earth. And oh, I want to be ready, and I want to take as many people with me as I possibly can at that day when the Lord comes. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the promise of God. Lord, we are not children of the darkness. We are children of the light. Help us to walk in the light, to live in the light. Oh, Lord, to be a people who understand the times that we're living in. And Lord, to realize that we are right on the very brink of your coming. And darkness is coming upon this earth. But Lord, I know that you've provided a way of escape for everyone washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, I just pray for those here in this service today. Lord, if they're not ready, if they do not know you in a personal way, for those in this service who are not saved, Lord, that they would not put it off till tonight or till next week. But Lord, that they would come to you now. This day, day of salvation. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The light of truth can be shining bright into our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way as to demonstrate light to a world that's walking in darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Would you please stand with me? Is there anyone here in this service today? And you would just admit, I know I'm not ready. If the Lord comes today, I'm not going to be ready. I'm just not ready. Do you know you can call upon the Lord? The Lord is just so merciful, so gracious, that He's given to you another day, another opportunity to call upon the Lord. Do you know I cannot promise you that tomorrow is going to be another day of grace? I don't know. This might be it. We may never see the month of November 2011. We may not see another day or two before us. But right now you can call upon the Lord. Right now you can receive mercy. And you can be forgiven. And you can enter into the kingdom of God. You can be saved. And I just plead with you this morning. Please don't put that off. Don't wait. Don't delay. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Anyone here in this service this morning, you need help from the Lord. You know you're not right with the Lord, and you'll just hold your hand up. I'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. You know you're not ready to meet the Lord. You know you're not ready to meet Jesus. Amen. For the rest of us that are here today, remember, saints, we are not children of darkness. We're children of the light. But be watchful. Be alert. Concerning the times, concerning your life, concerning your testimony. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible calls the coming of the Lord a blessed hope. A blessed hope. Amen. Another place in the scripture, it describes the kind of reaction we're to have to this hope. Those that have this hope in them purify themselves. Amen. If you really believed that Jesus was going to come before this day was over, I believe you'd pray more today than you've ever prayed. You'd be spending some time calling on the Lord. You'd be evaluating your life. You'd be examining your life just to make sure. Just to make sure. We don't know what another day will bring, but we do know we're living at dusk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome His returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon, we know He's coming soon. Hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Before we leave this place, let's just give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, for your mercy, your love, Lord, that has been extended to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Lord bless you.